Okay, welcome everyone to the first online streaming shiur of Sefer Shoftim. We'll see how this goes over the next couple of weeks. Can everyone hear me? Yeah? Okay, hopefully everyone can hear me. I see that some of you have, if you look at the bottom left-hand side of your screen, I believe that's where it is. That's where it is on my screen. You can either mute yourself if you so wish, or you can stop your video so that your video doesn't appear, but that's up to you. Your comfort level, that's fine with me either way. But just so you know how to work it, and you can unmute yourself if you want to ask a question or just speak up, and hopefully I'll hear you, and we can take questions if you have. Okay, so we're learning Sefer Shoftim. Also, Zoom. This is a free service, so there's a 40-minute limit. So we started, I think I started the clock at, I started the meeting at 9:10. So I think by 9:50 it's going to cut us off. So that'll we might end our shiur a little early tonight for the next couple of weeks, but you will you understand why. Okay, so we're learning Shoftim Perek Vav. Just to review a little bit about what we were talking about at the beginning of the Perek. So the beginning of the Perek deals with Midian and Midian's persecution of the Jewish people. The first part of the Perek discusses the terrible persecution of Midian over the Jews, and of course it's because, as we know, Bnei Yisrael, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael hara b'nei Hashem, they're not doing things in the right way. They're doing evil things in the eyes of Hashem. Avodah Zarah, of course, is always the culprit here. Then we have this Malach in Pasuk Yud Aleph who appears to this fellow by the name of Gidon. Gidon is the son of Yoash, from the family of Avi Ezri or Avi Ha-Ezri, according to the pasuk. And Gidon does some sort of a chesed and has because of that chesed he has a merit to be the savior of the Jewish people. The Malach comes to him and the Malach basically says that Hashem is with you and you will have a lot of courage and strength and you'll defeat the Midianim and save Bnei Yisrael from this terrible persecution. Gidon challenges that a little bit and he says, you know, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu been until now? If he's really the God who took us out of Mitzrayim and did all these nisim and many flows, so where is he until now? We haven't really seen him and we're in a very bad spot and we're suffering at the hands of Midian. And basically the Malach says, you know, listen, it's because of the Averos, it's because of Avodah Zarah. That's why these things are happening, and we find that the Navi comes to Bnei Yisrael and tries to tell them the same thing. Gidon asks for a sign that that this is true, that he's really going to be the savior of the Jewish people, and that he has to you know, he has to go about this, and he's going to be successful. The Malach tells him to take to I'm sorry. Gidon comes and he prepares some meat and he brings matzos. The Malach tells him to put it down on this rock, which will be important later. The Malach touches it with his staff, and it bursts into flames. And that's the sign that Gidon sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really truly with him. And that's why he says in Pasuk Chav Beis that Aha Hashem Elokim, that I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Ki al kein ra'isi Malach Hashem panim el panim. I've seen a Malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. He's a little bit scared that he's going to die, and this is what we discussed at the end of the last year. Last week we didn't learn, but the week before. So he's a little bit nervous that he's going to die because, as we know, the more spirituality a person experiences, the less there's room for the physical world. So he's scared that he's going to die as a result of this, as a result of this encounter with the Malach. And Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the Malach tells him, reassures him. Vayomer lo Hashem, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's a question here in the Mefarshim, is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself speaking to Gidon, or is it the Malach? Vayomer lo Hashem, Shalom lecha, al tira lo tamus. Right? You're at peace, don't be nervous, don't be afraid, you're not going to die. So the Malach reassures, let's assume it's a Malach for a second, the Malach reassures Gidon that he's not going to die, everything's going to be okay, and that reassures him a bit. And we got up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. It's actually Hashgacha. I meant to do Pasuk Chaf Dalet last time, but it actually is Hashgacha that I didn't do it last time because it really relates to some of the discussions that we're going to have tonight. So Baruch Hashem, I didn't do it last time. Let's do Pasuk Chaf Dalet tonight. So as a result of this encounter with the Malach and Gideon's successful encounter, nothing happens to him, Baruch Hashem. Vayiven Sham Gideon Mizbeach LaHashem. So Gideon builds a Mizbeach there to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that spot where he encounters this Malach. Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom. Ad Hayom Hazeh Odenu Be'ofras Aviha Ezri. And the Mizbeach is called Shalom. We'll talk about this in a minute, what exactly the name of the Mizbeach is. And the Mizbeach, the Pasuk says, is still there. It's in this place called Ofras. Not Ephras with an Aleph, but Ofras with an Ayin. And it's in the family, you know, in this portion of the Aviha Ezri. That's where it is until today. So Gideon builds this Mizbeach. The Al-Sheikh says he does it out of Hakaras HaTov. He's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was able to see this Malach and survive and nothing happened to him, Baruch Hashem. The question is, it's interesting, the question is, how do you read these words? Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom, those four words. Do you read it, Vayikra lo, comma, Hashem Shalom, that Gideon called it, referring to the Mizbeach, Hashem Shalom, he named the Mizbeach Hashem Shalom, or, alternatively, you can read it, Vayikra lo Hashem, comma, Shalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu named the Mizbeach Shalom. And this is a machlokas among the Mefarshim, how to read this pasuk. The Metzudas David understands it, that Gideon named the Mizbeach Hashem Shalom, and the concept was that Hashem was here and greeted me, and I came out, you know, successfully and peacefully, so that's the Hashem Shalom. That's the Metzudas David's understanding. The Malbim also learns that way, that he called it Hashem Shalom. He understands that he called it Hashem Shalom for a different reason, because the idol worshippers, and again, in those days, you know, idol worship was rampant among Bnei Yisrael. Many in his city, as we'll talk about, and many in Bnei Yisrael were worshiping idols, and they did not destroy the Mizbeach. This, he was able to build the Mizbeach in peace, so that's why he called it Hashem Shalom, that it was in peace from the idol worshippers. The Al-Sheikh understands it a little bit differently. The Al-Sheikh says that Hashem named the Mizbeach, not Gideon. And he says Hashem named it Shalom to make Gideon feel good. He was doing it to make Gideon feel good, that to show that I approve of the building of this Mizbeach, I approve of what you did, and that's why Hashem named it Shalom, according to the Al-Sheikh. It's machlokes among the Mefarshim. It seems that most of them understand that Gideon named it Hashem Shalom. The Al-Sheikh understands that Hashem named it Shalom. Okay, so he builds this Mizbeach. The Pasuk does not tell us that he does anything with the Mizbeach. It doesn't tell us that he brings any karbanos on the Mizbeach. We'll see a little bit more about that as we go through the parak. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayihi Balayla, and it was Vayihi Balayla Hahu, I'm sorry, it was at that night. Vayomer lo Hashem, and Hashem says to Gideon, Kach es par hashor asher le'avicha. Take the par hashor. Now, par hashor is a funny expression. Seemingly, it means a cow or an ox, but it's a little bit of an interesting expression. It's not generally, you don't usually find that expression to refer to a cow or an ox. Usually, it's either a par or a shor. But to say a par hashor is a little bit strange. But okay, but that's what the pasuk refers to it, and the mefarshim are going to talk about this. So why it's referred to as par hashor, we'll discuss it in a moment. Asher la'avicha, his father. Yoash, the father of Gideon, had this par hashor. Ufar hasheni sheva shanim, and bring this second cow, which is 7 years. Again, doesn't exactly explain what the 7 years are. The harasta is mizbach habal asher le'avicha, and he says, I want you to destroy the mizbeach of Baal that your father has. Gideon's father Yoash apparently had a mizbeach that was for Baal. Baal was one of the Avodah Zarahs, and Gideon's father was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He had this Mizbeach. We'll see in a second, that, you know, in a little bit, that, you know, his father may not have been a full-fledged Oved Avodah Zarah, but he had this this Mizbeach for Baal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I want you, Gideon, to destroy this Mizbeach of your father. Reminds us a little bit of the Midrashim, where Avram Avinu went and destroyed all of the idols of Terach, his father. His father had all these idols, and Avram went and destroyed them. So this reminds us a little bit of that. The Es HaAsherah Asher Alav Tichros. And apparently above this Mizbeach was a tree that was an Asherah. An Asherah tree is a tree that's worshipped for Avodah Zarah. So there was this Avodah Zarah tree, and he says, I want you to cut down the tree. So Hashem comes to Gideon and he says, I want you to destroy the Mizbeach of your father. I want you to take these animals. I want you to destroy the Mizbeach of your father. And I want you to cut down this tree. It's very interesting it's not clear the Shur HaPar, I'm sorry, the Parashur, I apologize, the Parashur, it's not clear exactly what that means. Some understand it means the chosen cow. Some say it means it was a very large cow. It was a large ox, and many of the Mefarshim understand that that this cow was designated for Avodah Zarah, and we'll learn that that this cow, many of the Mefarshim say, was even prepared for Avodah Zarah. It was raised to be like a fat cow to sacrifice for Avodah Zarah, and it was done for the last 7 years. If you remember, all the way at the beginning of the Perek, the first pasuk in Perek Vav said, "Va'itneim Hashem b'yad Midyan sheva shanim," that the Midyanim persecuted the Jews for 7 years. So 7 years is this time period that the Midyanim are persecuting the Jews, persecuting Bnei Yisrael. And it sounds like for this entire period of the 7 years, this cow was raised and fattened for Avodah Zarah in order to be brought as a korban for Avodah Zarah. He brings this cow as a korban. And again, it's not clear. The pasuk doesn't say that he brought it as a korban. The pasuk just says, kach es par hashor. But some of the mefarshim understand that this par hashor was sacrificed on this mizbeach that we just learned about in pasuk chav dalet. Right? Pasuk chav dalet, he just built a mizbeach. Pasuk chav hei, he's instructed to take this ox and to sacrifice it upon the mizbeach. The second cow that the Torah, the Navi describes with Par Hasheni, so that second cow, some say it was the second born cow, meaning it was the brother of this first cow, second born. Others just say it was the second one in the sequence here of what Gideon was supposed to do. And the 7 years again, some learn it means it was 7 years old. Some say this cow was also prepared for the last 7 years for Avodah Zarah. And there's a fascinating Gemara in Temura, where many of the Mefarshim quote this Gemara. The Gemara says that that night that Gideon brought this sacrifice, he violated eight different prohibitions, eight different Yisurim. Gideon violated this night. Now, he violated these Yisurim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to. He didn't just do this on his own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to violate the Yisurim. But nonetheless, he violated these eight Yisurim on this night. And the eighth that the Gemara identifies are, number one, he sacrificed, he brought a korban to Hashem outside of the Mishkan. Right? We know Shchutei Chutz, you're only allowed to bring a korban inside the Mishkan. You're not allowed to bring a korban outside of the Mishkan. And here he brings a korban outside of the Mishkan. That's number one. Number two, he brings a korban at night. Right? We don't bring korbanos at night. All the korbanos were brought during the day. At night, there was some residual burning of the limbs of the korban tamid shalvein arbayim. But the actual korban itself was brought in the afternoon. So korbanos are only brought during the day, and here he brings the korban at night. Number three, he was not a kohen, right? Usually in the Mishkan, who's bringing the korbanos? The kohanim. He was not a kohen. Gideon was a Yisrael. He was not a kohen. He was a zar. So here he's doing the avodah, seemingly inappropriately. Number four, when a kohen, does the avodah and brings korbanos, he does it with special kelim, which are called the klei ashares, the special kelim of the service in the Mishkan. He didn't do that. He didn't have these special kelim. In fact, not only that, but number six, or I'm doing a little bit out of order, but he used, oh, sorry, this was number five, he used the kelim of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says he actually used the kelim, the vessels of Avodah Zarah, in order to bring this korban in the proper way. Number six, he used the wood of the Asherah tree, which is the Avodah Zarah tree. He used that wood to light the fire to bring the korban on this mizbeach. Number seven, the animal was muktzah, not muktzah in the context of Shabbos, that you're not allowed to move it, but muktzah in the context that it was set aside for Avodah Zarah, which is possible for a korban. You can't bring an animal that was set aside for Avodah Zarah. Not only that, but number eight, says the Gemara, not only was this set aside for Avodah Zarah, but this animal had been worshipped. It was ne'evah. The animal was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah, which makes it even worse, and that certainly invalidates it for a korban. And nonetheless, he brought this as a korban. What's the idea behind this, Gemara? That he's violating, Hashem is telling him to violate all of these eight prohibitions in order to bring this karban. So the Al-Sheikh explains that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Gideon the opportunity to be Mekadei Shem Shamayim, to sanctify God's name. Everyone around him is doing Avodah Zarah. The whole city is steeped in Avodah Zarah. Hashem wants to give him the ability to sanctify God's name, to sanctify the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're going to learn he wants him to do it in public. And that's going to be a zchus for him. That's going to be a merit for him that's going to enable him to be the savior of Bnei Yisrael and to be successful against the Midyanim and defeat the Midyanim and save Bnei Yisrael. To show how significant Kiddush Shem Shamayim is, Hashem said, I'm even going to tell you to do it in a way that's otherwise inappropriate. I'm going to tell you to do it in a way where otherwise you would never be able to do it for 8 reasons, not even just one prohibition, one iser. He violated 8 isurim, Hashem told him to. Because Hashem says, I want to communicate the message that being Mekadei Shem Shamayim is so important, is so chashuv, that even if you're violating these 8 isurim, I still want you to do it. And that just shows us the importance of Kiddush Hashem, the importance of how, now of course we cannot go about being Mekadei Shem Shamayim and just violating isurim. We can't choose to do that. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically instructed Gideon to do that. But at the same time, we see the importance and the significance of Kiddush Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it was necessary even to do it at the expense of these 8 isur. Okay. If you look at the next pasuk Chavav, Uvanisa Mizbeach LaHashem Elokecha, so Hashem commands him, or the Malach perhaps commands him to build Mizbeach to Hashem, your God, Al Rosh HaMa'oz Hazeh, upon this Ma'oz, the head of this Ma'oz. Now what's Ma'oz? Most of us remember the word Ma'oz from Ma'oz Tzur, right? That's the song we sing Chanukah, Ma'oz Tzur Yeshua Si. That's Ma'oz. So what does Ma'oz mean? Ma'oz means a rock. And it's from the language of Oz, Oz V'Hadar Levusha, right? The strength. So a rock is one of the strongest things that we have in our world, you know, the strength of a rock. So here the Ma'oz means the rock. Radak understands this was the same rock that the meat and the matzos were consumed. That was the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually was coming to Gideon and telling him to be the savior of the Jewish people. So the Radak understands that was the same rock. And the ma'aracha, usually ma'aracha means the fire on top of the mizbeach. Now here, you know, it's not clear exactly what it means here because there is no ma'aracha, but the Ralbag understands that it means it was a place that was fitting for a mizbeach. Now, let's keep going. Let's finish the pasuk. V'lokachta es hapar hasheni. Take this second par. V'ha'aleisa ola v'atzei ha'asherah asher tichros. And use the wood of the asherah to bring this second par as an ola on this mizbeach. So he's instructed to build another mizbeach. Because again, keep in mind, he already built a mizbeach in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, by even Shom Gidon mizbeach LaHashem. So he already built a mizbeach. Now, 2 psukim later, in Pasuk Chaf Vav, he's being instructed, Uvanisa mizbeach LaHashem Elokecha. So he's building now a second mizbeach. He's told to build a second mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malbim, in a fascinating way, understands that that this second mizbeach was actually built from the stones of the destroyed Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah. Right, that Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah in Pasuk Chaf Hei, that the Malach told him to destroy, the Mizbeach of Baal, his father's Mizbeach. So the Malbim says he took those stones from the destroyed Mizbeach and he built this new Mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malbim says not only that, but the Malbim understands that the second Mizbeach was actually built on top of the first Mizbeach. And he says that's the language of the Ma'oz, the strong, the strength, the foundation. So he says it was actually like a double-decker Mizbeach. And he says that's why it was called, it says to bring the cow, bring the second par, the Lokachta Safar Hasheni V'Alisa Olav, I'm sorry, before that, Arosh Ma'oz Hazeba Ma'aracha. He says that the Ma'aracha was the place where that cow, where the first cow was brought. So that's the way the Malbim understands that literally it's a double-decker Mizbeach. He has his first Mizbeach, and now he's building a second Mizbeach. But fascinatingly, says the Malbim, think about what's happening here. this Mizbeach, first Mizbeach, okay, Gideon builds that Mizbeach out of a karas to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw a Malach, he talked to a Malach, he survived. This second Mizbeach that Hashem is commanding him to build, think about this. He's commanding him to build a Mizbeach out of the stones of the Mizbeach, of the Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah. He's using the wood of the Asherah of Avodah Zarah to light the fire, and he's taking the animal, the Parasheni, which was set aside and fattened up for Avodah Zarah, and he's taking that and he's being makriv it to Hashem. He's sacrificing it to Hashem. And says the Malbim, what do you see? The message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving home here to Gideon is the total bittul, the total nullification of Avodah Zarah. That all the people in this city are worshipping Avodah Zarah, people in Bnei Yisrael are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is nothing. Take everything of Avodah Zarah, destroy it, and just turn it around and use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a little bit it shows us, you know, the beauty of taking things in this world and being mekadosh them, sanctifying them, that we can sanctify anything in this world, even though there are halachos, that certain things, especially things used for Avodah Zarah, were generally not allowed to use for Devarim Shebikdusha. But here, of course, was an exception. This was a Hara Shah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling him to do this. This was an exception to the rule. But says the Malbim, this is to show Avodah Zarah is nothing. It's garnished. It's meaningless. It's insignificant. I want you to destroy all the Avodah Zarah, and that's exactly going to be the Mizbeach, the foundation of the Mizbeach to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Ayikach Gideon Asara Anashim Me'avadav. So Gideon takes 10 servants of his. Vayask Asher Dibir Eilav Hashem. And he does exactly as Hashem commanded him. He destroys the Mizbeach of the Baal. He cuts down the Asherah tree. And he builds this new Mizbeach. Interesting. He says that Gideon was scared. He was nervous, even though HaKadosh Baruch was telling him to do this. But he knows his father, this is his father's Mizbeach, it's his father's tree, right? And, it, you know, like we said, it's like Avram destroying the idols of Terach. All the people in the city are of the Avodah Zarah. What are they going to do? They're going to kill him, right? They're going to be furious. They're going to kill him because he's doing this. So because he's scared, Gideon does this at night. He does it under the cover of darkness. He does it at night. He doesn't want to be caught by the people of the city. And the Malbim says that's why he took 10 people, because he's got to do all of this at night. He doesn't want to be doing it during the day. He's got to do it quickly. He can't do it by himself in one night. So he takes 10 people. You know, he and 10 other people, they can do this job, you know, at night, stealthily, quietly, and nobody will know. The Rabbag, interestingly, says the reason why he took 10 people is not because he wanted to do it quickly, but he took 10 people because he wanted to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And we know that Kiddush Hashem is even greater when it's done by Rabbim, in front of a minion, in front of 10 people. So he took a minion with him so he could be Mekadesh. He didn't want to do it during the day in front of everyone. That comfortable he was not. That he was a little bit too scared to do. But at least let me have a minion. At least let me have 10 people so I can be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in front of the 10 people. So now the people of the city wake up in the morning. People see that the Mizbeach of Baal has been destroyed. They see the tree of the Asherah of Baal has been cut down. And that second cow that was prepared for Avodah Zarah, that was fattened up for Avodah Zarah, that second cow has been brought as a carbon, has been brought as an ola. How did they know that an ola is all burnt? So the Mefarshim say that either something was left over, maybe the horns of the cow were left over and they were able to recognize it, or maybe they just figured it out. They looked for the cow, they didn't see the cow, they see this brand new Mizbeach, it's got some ashes on top, and they put two and two together, and they said it must be that he brought this cow, that this cow was brought as a Mizbeach. People were furious when this happened. It's interesting. The Malbim says that he says it's not recorded in the pasuk, but he says probably what happened when the people woke up in the morning and they saw this new mizbeach. According to the Malbim, remember, it was a double decker mizbeach. It was the first mizbeach that Gideon built, and then he was commanded to build this other mizbeach on top of it. So the Malbim says that I'm sure the people of the city destroyed the mizbeach. I'm sure they destroyed the mizbeach. They woke up in the morning, they see this new mizbeach. I'm sure they destroyed it, says the Malbim. But the Malbim says that they only could destroy the upper Mizbeach. They couldn't destroy the lower one. And that's why it was called Ma'oz in the Pasuk. It was called that strong rock in the Pasuk. That was the strength of the foundation that part of the Mizbeach they could not destroy. And he says that's why the Hashkacha had it, that what was the name of that bottom Mizbeach? What did we say in Pasuk Chaf Dalet? The name of the bottom Mizbeach was Shalom. Right? That was Shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu named it Shalom according to the Malbim. Why? To show that there was peace here. Kadosh Baruch Hu named it Shalom. There was peace. That this Mizbeach was not able to be destroyed by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
Could he have named it in the name of Shalom? We know as Hashem's name.
No. Maybe. But the only thing is the Pasuk says in Chaf Dalet Hashem Shalom.
Hashem Shalom. Okay.
If it's referring, if Shalom is Hashem, so then why? No, it's redundant. But that is okay. Right, that is true. That's the name of Hashem. The kinui for Hashem is Shalom. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Tes. Vayomru Isha Re'ehu Mi Asa HaDavar Hazeh. So they turn to each other and they say, who did this? Who destroyed the Mizbeach HaBaal and cut down the tree and brought this with this cow as a karbon and then built this other Mizbeach? Who's the one who did this? Vayidrashu, they did a little homework. Maybe they looked at the security cameras. Vayivakshu, right? They asked around. Vayomru Gidon ben Yoash Asa HaDavar Hazeh. And they said, who's the they? Mitzudas David says, we don't know. Pasuk doesn't say who ratted out Gidon, but somebody did. And it sounds like it was multiple people, Vayomru. So he says, Vayomru, these people told him that Gidon ben Yoash, he was the one who did this. Okay, so Gidon did this. Now they want to kill Gidon, right? They want to kill Gidon here. The problem is, Yoash is their master. Yoash was like the master in that town. He was the mayor, perhaps, or something along those lines. But nonetheless, they wanted to kill Gidon. You know, they were furious. Pasuk Lamed, Vayomran Shehoyer El Yoash. So the men of the city come and they bang on Yoash's door and they say to him, Hotseyas Bincha V'yamos. Right, bring your son out. We want to kill him. Kinasat es Mizbach HaBaal. Because he destroyed the Mizbeach of Baal, v'chi charas v'asherah asher alav, and he cut down the Asherah tree that was growing above that Mizbeach. So listen to what Yoash says. Now keep in mind, Yoash, this was his Mizbeach. So Yoash was a shtickel over Avodah Zarah himself, but here we find him defending his son Gidon, and not only defending Gidon, but we find him questioning a little bit the power of the Baal. By the way, I told you at the beginning of this shiur that there was a 40-minute limit. Something just popped up on my screen that Zoom just gave us a gift that we no longer have a 40-minute limit. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to keep you for forever, but we probably won't get cut off at exactly 9:50. But we'll try to end anyways, you know, close to 9:50, you know, or 9:55 or so. So let's see what we can do. Pasuk Lamanaf, I want to finish the parak tonight. Let's try to do that. Yomer Yoash. So listen to what Yoash says. Right? Again, the people are banging on his door. They want his son out. They want to kill him. Yomer Yoash l'chol asher amdu alav. So Yoash comes out and he addresses all of these people who are standing outside his door wanting to kill his son. Ha'atem terivun la'baal. Are you going to fight for the Baal? You really going to fight for this Baal, for this Avodah Zarah? Imatem toshiyun oso. You're going to save him? Asher yarivlo. Yumas Araboker. He says that if you think the Baal is powerful, then probably the one who fought against the Baal and destroyed the Mizbeach and cut down the Asherah, he probably won't make it through until the morning. And I'm sure the Baal is going to kill him. Im Elohim hu yarev lo kinosat es Mizbecho. If the Baal is really a god, if this Avodah Zarah really has power, so his Mizbeach was just destroyed, he's not going to take that sitting down. He's going to go after the guy. So if you're telling me that Gidon, my son, is a terrible person because he destroyed the Baal, what are you coming to defend the Baal for? If the Baal is powerful, the Baal's of Avodah Zarah, let the Baal protect himself. Let him get back at Gidon. Let him kill Gidon. What do you have to kill Gidon for? So, you know, fascinating. The Ralbag and the Malbim both explain that he's arguing with them intellectually, and he's saying, you know, what you guys are doing doesn't make any sense. Because if you feel that the Avodah Zarah is real, if the Baal is real, so what do you need to defend the Baal for? Let the Baal defend itself. Let the Avodah Zarah worry about itself. Let it take care of Gidon. Let the Avodah Zarah kill Gidon. Now, Gidon won't make it until the morning if the Avodah Zarah is real. And if you're telling me that the Avodah Zarah is not real, and or it's not powerful, and therefore you have to come to defend it, well, what kind of God is that? What kind of deity is that you're worshiping that it can't even defend itself? So here we find Gideon's father Yoash, and again, he was the one who had this Baal, this Mizbeach to Baal, but we find him questioning it himself. It seems like he wasn't really sold on the Avodah Zarah, and now that Gideon destroys it, he says, you know what, maybe this was a big sham after all. Pasuk Lamed Beis, not only that, but now he's even getting more strength. By Yikra Lo, and because of this incident, so Gideon's father gives him a new name. By Yikra Lo, by Yom Hahu, Yerubal. He calls his son Gideon now Yerubal. What's Yerubal? Different interpretations exactly what Yerubal means, but Yerubal basically means that the Baal is fighting against, that Gideon is fighting the Baal. That's the idea, that Gideon is fighting the Baal. The Al-Shach gives one interpretation that maybe Yerubal from the language of Yira, that Baal should fear Gideon, right? That this Avodah Zarah Baal should really fear Gideon, because you see the power that Gideon has over the Avodah Zarah. But either way, the concept, the idea behind this name Yerubal is that Gideon is really powerful over the Baal. He's fighting with the Baal. He's destroying the Baal. The Baal should be scared of him. That the Baal, Gideon is fighting the Baal because he destroyed his Mizbeach. And again, the purpose here is to stress to the people that the Baal is insignificant, the Baal is meaningless, it's nothing. Right? Gideon is destroyed. Look what Gideon did. He destroyed the Baal's Mizbeach, he destroyed the Asherah, he brought a carbon to Hashem on this new, brand new Mizbeach that he built. The Baal is nothing. Forget about the Baal, forget about the Avodah Zarah. It's nothing. Now, not everybody is very happy with what's going on here. Because Midian, as you know, they were the ones who were persecuting the Bnei Yisrael. But not only that, other nations find out about what's going on. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'chol Midian V'amolek U'vnei Kedem Ne'es V'yachdav. Midian gets together. Amalek, we already saw Amalek always likes to jump into the fray and beat up Bnei Yisrael. Amalek here joins in the fight. Bnei Kedem, people to the east, nations to the east, they all join in. Anes Huyachtav, they all get together. Vayavru Vayachanu Be'emek Yisrael, and they come, they cross the Yarden. Right, the Mitzudas David says Vayavru, they cross the Yarden, and they settle. They camp in this valley of Yisrael, not Yisrael, but Yisrael. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. So you think, Gideon's getting a little scared maybe, right? No, just the opposite. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. The Ruach Hashem Lavsha Es Gideon. Gideon gets a spirit of God. He gets a Ruach Hashem. Vayiska Vashofar Vayizoek Ariezer Acharov. Now what's this Ruach Hashem? So many of the Mefarshim Rashi at the helm says the Ruach Hashem means the spirit of courage, right? Now why is courage described as Ruach Hashem? Presumably because when a person has a real emunah in Hashem, when a person has real emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of everything, so then that's what gives you courage. So that what gave Gideon courage was his emunah b'Hashem. So perhaps that's why he calls it the Ruach Hashem, but he's got this courage, this spirit of God that's enveloping him. The Malbim says that the Ruach Hashem wasn't just courage, but the Malbim says there was a shtickle nevuah here. This is like the first level of nevuah, where the spirit of Hashem comes and rests upon the person, and inspires them to save the nation of Klal Yisrael. So that's the first thing. So pasuk says at the end, Vayizoek Aviezer Acharav. And when I first read this pasuk, I thought to myself, Vayizoek. Zaak, Zaak, usually that means to yell, to scream. Abiezer was the family that Gideon was from. So it sounds like his family is like behind him, screaming, supporting him behind him. And then Mefarshim say that Vayazek here, or Vayizaek, doesn't mean literally that they screamed, but it means they gathered. And the reason why it describes gathering in the terminology of Vayizaek is because the way that they gathered was that they had one guy with a booming voice who would get up and would yell that everyone should gather together. So he got up and he yelled, and the whole family of Gideon, his entire family, came to support him, and they all come with this courage, that they're coming to support Gideon to defeat the Midian and the other nations that came to fight as well. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Now, of course, Gideon and his family are not going to be enough. They're not going to be a match for Midian, Amalek, and Bnei Kedem. It's not going to be a match. So what do? They have to enlist some other troops. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Umalachim Shalach B'chol Menashe. So they send out messengers to the tribe of Menashe to come join them. Vayizo'ik Amu Acharav. The Shevet Menashe comes and joins them as well. Umalachim Shalach B'Asher U'Bizvulun U'Benaftali Vayalu Likrasam. And they sent to all these local shvatim, Asher, Zvulun, Naphtali. They all come to help and support Gideon and his family fighting against the Midianim and the Amalekim and the others that came to join them. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayomer Gideon El Ha'Elokim Im Yeshcha Moshiach B'Yadias Yisrael Kasher Dibarta. So Gideon says, "Listen, Hashem, if you're really going to be with me." You're really going to be with me to save Klal Yisrael. Like you said, you told me to go and save Bnei Yisrael. So if you're really with me and you want me to do this, I need a little bit of a sign from you. Gideon is asking for a sign that Hashem is really with him. Okay? The Rabbag says this whole exchange happens through a Navi. Because keep in mind, right? You know, Gideon himself is not really a Navi. We have a Navi coming to Gideon. We have a Malach, you know, appearing to Gideon. But Gideon is not a Navi where he's getting direct visions and conversations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to most of the Mefarshim. You know, again, the Malbim said he got maybe the first level of Nevuah with that Veruach Hashem Lavsha as Gideon, but he's not a full-fledged Navi just yet. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. So Gideon says, here's my test, Hashem. Here's the sign that I would like. Hinei Anochi Matzig Es Gizas HaTzemer VaGoren. I'm going to take a clump of wool and place it in the goren. The goren was the threshing floor. Im tal yihyeh al hagiza levada. If in the morning I wake up and there's dew on this wool, bial kol haaretz chorev, but the rest of the earth, the rest of the land around it, is without dew, dry. Biyadati ki soshia biyadias Yisrael kasher dibarta. Then I'll know that you're going to be with me and you're going to help me save Bnei Yisrael and defeat the Midian. So he's asking for a sign. He said, I'm going to take this clump of wool, I'm going to place it in the goren. Let's see in the morning if that wool has dew on it and the earth around it does not have dew, then I know that you're going to be with me. The Rabbag understands that Gideon was still unsure exactly if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him 100%, and that's why he's asking for this. We're going to see in a minute that not only does he ask for one sign, but he actually is going to ask for a second sign. And we'll see that in a second. The Malbim says here, no, this wasn't a lack of emunah on Gideon's part. He wasn't trying to determine if Hashem really was able to do this or not able to do it. He was questioning, are Bnei Yisrael really deserving of a Yeshua? Are Bnei Yisrael really, do they have the merits to deserve a Yeshua? And he said that, you know, listen, I destroyed the Baal, I destroyed the Mizbeach. The people of the city apparently did tshuva after this incident, right, where Yoash, Gideon's father, argued with them and got them to do a little bit of tshuva. So they did tshuva. But he says, you know, the rest of Bnei Yisrael is still Rashaim. They're still doing Avodah Zarah. They're still worshiping Baal. So maybe they don't merit a Yeshua. Maybe they don't merit a salvation. I don't question the fact that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can do this. I'm questioning, are Bnei Yisrael worthy? Are they worthy to merit it? The Malbim says that there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in this sign, this oath that Gideon is asking for. So he says, number one, what does the dew represent? You know, you wake up in the morning and the dew condenses upon the things. It's almost like the dew comes down. So he says that represents the Shefa of Hashem. That represents the spirit of Hashem, Hashem's presence that comes down and descends upon a person or upon a nation. That's what it signifies. And why in the Goren? Right? Gideon says, I'm going to place the wool in the Goren. Because if you remember, where was the first place that Gideon encountered the Malach? That was in the Goren. If you remember, Gideon was beating the wool. Beating the wheat in the Goren. So that was the first place. So Gideon says, that's where I want to do this. That's where I want this oath, this sign to happen. The Malbim says that Gideon, that wool, symbolized Gideon. The rest of the ground, the land around it, symbolized Bnei Yisrael. And what he was saying was that I know that if the dew rests upon me, if the dew rests upon the wool and not upon the land around it, that means that Hashem's presence will rest on me, even if it's not resting upon all the other Bnei Yisrael. Meaning that even if Bnei Yisrael are not worthy, even if Bnei Yisrael are not fit, they don't have the merits to deserve this Yeshua. But I know that the presence of Hashem will rest upon me. Then I'm rest assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to be with me, and I'll have this chos to defeat the Midyan. The Al-Sheikh understands it a little bit differently, and he understands that the wool represents a sheep, and Bnei Yisrael are always compared to a sheep. So he understands that the wool represents Bnei Yisrael, and if the wool and the rest of the land represents the other nations. So if the dew rests upon the wool and not upon the other land, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest upon Bnei Yisrael and not upon the other nations. So that's really just the question. Is the wool Gidon and the rest of the land is Bnei Yisrael? Or is the wool Bnei Yisrael and the rest of the land is the other nations? But either way, there was symbolism, according to the Al-Sheikh and the Malbim, in this sign that Gidon asked for. So what happened? What happened with the sign? Pasuk Lamed Ches, Ayihi Chein, Itaka happened, right? It came true. Or at least partially, we'll see. Vayashke Mimacharas, he got up the next morning, Vayazar Es Hagiza, he took the wool and he squeezed it. Vayimatz Tal Min Hagiza, and liquid, dew, water started pouring out of the wool, Melo HaSeifel Nayim. It filled up an entire bucket full of water. That's how much dew had collected on this piece of wool. Now it's interesting that all of the Mefarshim say, quoting Chazal, that even though this part of the sign came true, the rest of the land did have dew also. It wasn't just upon the wool. The rest of the land did have dew. It didn't come true 100%. Why? So there's a Tosfos that say, and many of the Mefarshim quote this, that there was a special bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the dew, made with the tal, that the tal will never be batal. Dew will never be batal. Dew is a special bracha. Hashem has a special covenant with dew, and therefore, tal will always exist. Dew will always exist. And because of that, that part of the sign was impossible because of this bris. So that didn't happen. The dew still came upon the rest of the land. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought extra dew upon the wool to show how much that he was going to be with Gidon, and Gidon would be successful in saving the Jewish people and defeating the people of Midian. Now the Malbim says that there were really two things that Hashem was telling him, and we'll just finish up in the next 3 minutes here. So the Malbim says that he was telling him that number one, you're going to be successful. You're going to defeat Midian and save Bnei Israel. But number two, you're going to do it in a miraculous fashion. You don't even need such a large force. He was getting, different shvatim to come and help. But he was saying, you don't even need such a large force. It's going to be miraculous. Gidon is not sure that Bnei Yisrael are going to merit that miraculous victory. He understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make him victorious. But maybe the victory has to be with an army and with strategy and with a regular hishtablus. But here, he's not sure that Bnei Yisrael are really going to merit a miraculous victory, which is why he asks now for a second sign. Last two psukim, pasuk lametes vayomer Gidon el Elokim al yichar abchabi. Gidon says that he apologizes. He says, "Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't get angry with me." Vadabra chapam. I just want to say one more thing. Anasen na rakapam begiza. I want one more sign with the wool. Yina chori velagiza levada al kol haaretz yetal. Please reverse the sign, right? Make the wool dry, and just make the dew on the rest of the land. Okay, the Al-Sheikh says here that he was asking for an additional sign because he wanted a sign that none of Bnei Yisrael are going to die. That's how the Al-Sheikh understands. Others understand that he asked for a second sign again because he wasn't sure that Bnei Yisrael really had the merit and had the schus here. The Al-Sheikh says, fascinatingly, the reason why he asked for a second sign is because his father gave him the name Yerubal. So he was scared that maybe once his name contained the word Baal, which was the name of Avodah Zarah, maybe that would minimize his chus. Maybe then he wouldn't be able to be the savior, to be the Moshiach of Bnei Yisrael. He has the name Baal, right? His father gave him the name Baal. So that's according to the Al-Sheikh why he asked for the second sign. What happened? Pasuk Mem, final pasuk, Vayas Elokim Kain Valaila Hahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it that night, by Yichorev El Hagiza Levada V'Alkol Ha'aretz Hayatal, Hashem brought dew upon the entire land around it, but that piece of wool was dry, it was bone dry, there was no dew on that piece of wool. The Malbim says that this was a miracle, right? The fact that one little thing would have no dew on it was a complete miracle. And again, that was symbolizing to Gidon the fact that even if you don't have the schos necessarily to complete the victory, B'nai Yisrael will. They will have this schos, right? They will have this schos to have this miraculous victory. You'll do it miraculously and defeat the Midyanim. And again, according to the Al-Sheikh, he was telling him that just the fact that your name contains the word Baal, you're not going to lose any of the schos. You're not going to lose any of the schos yourself. So therefore, based on this, the Gidon is reassured that he has the schos, that B'nai Yisrael has the schos. It's going to be not only a victory, but a miraculous victory, and he's going to be able to come and defeat the Midyanim and save Klal Yisrael from the Midyanim and their persecution. So that's it for Perek Vav. Thank you all for joining. Hopefully, this was a little bit comfortable from the comfort of your own home. I think it worked well, Baruch Hashem. So Mirtz Hashem will continue next week. Also, the same time, 9:15 p.m. next Monday night. We'll do it online again. And I'll also post this recording on YU Torah. And I think I might even be able to send out the video recording. So we'll try to do that as well. Thank you for joining. And have a wonderful night. Mirtz Hashem will pick up with Perek Zion next week.
Bye-bye, Rabbi.
Take care.